Broadcasting Accountability is called to order. Would the clerk please call the roll?
Representative Kelly.
Do you want to call it up?
Senator Frary.
Here.
Senator.
Great, thank you. There being a quorum present, I see him outside the door. He'll be in shortly. First up on our agenda is Southern Illinois University, their request for a certificate of participation. We have a couple of representatives from Southern here today, if they could make their way forward to the microphones. Kevin Boehm, Vice Chancellor for Administration and Finance, and Tina Galick, Assistant Vice President of Financial Administrative Affairs and Assistant Treasurer. Okay. And if I've mispronounced your names, my apologies. Feel free to restate them for the record.
You did a pretty good job.
Okay.
Thank you for taking time this morning to meet with us to talk about our proposed issuance of certificates of participation. We're before you today seeking permission to issue 46 million of certificates of participation. We provided you with a spiral band handout. We're just going to hit a couple of highlights from that today, so kind of just to get started. I think we've gone over the speakers already. We also have Andrea Bacon from Chapman and Cutler in the audience with us today. She's our special counsel on our financing team. And we have John Vincent, our financial advisor, with us today in case you have questions for them. I'm going to hop to page two. Just as a reminder, the State University COPS Act requires us to come before the commission seeking your approval to issue what we're proposing as $46 million of COPS. That Act also has a debt limit imposed in it. Southern Illinois University's debt limit under that Act is $20 million. We currently have one issue of COPS outstanding. It's a Series 2004 COPS. The maximum annual debt service on those COPS is about $2.9 million, so we're way under the authorized debt limit in the Act. Assuming that we issue the proposed COPS that we're here to present today, that would increase to $4.1 million. So still, again, we're going to stay way under the proposed or under the maximum limit under the COPS Act. On page three, we provided you with a real brief timeline for our financing. One thing I wanted to point out, there's some highlighted dates in yellow. We're here today on November 5th seeking your approval. We'll also go to our board for approval to issue the COPS on November 14th. We've provided you with a handout that's stapled. That is our agenda and the board matter that will go before our board on November 14th. And then I'm going to kind of turn it over to Kevin quickly to talk about the projects.
I'll speak to the projects. University administration has identified certain high-priority projects to address the significant diversity.
Is your mic on? Could you push? There's a button that says push. There we go.
Okay. The university administration has identified high-priority projects to address the university's most significant deferred maintenance issues. And on page five of your handout, you will see the projects that we're proposing. We're looking for authority to issue $30 million worth of debt on this piece of the debt issue. And the projects involve renovating some current space and repurposing the space, and that would be Pulliam Hall and Woody Hall. And then a significant portion of the projects included heating, air conditioning and ventilation work, HVAC work for several of the buildings, roof replacements, and an upgrade to the electrical distribution system that we operate on campus. We feel that all these priority projects are strong needs and that we want to bring those forward for your consideration. On the page seven, I do have a revenue stream to handle the debt service on those projects, and the university issued or moved forward with a fee back in 2007, which was what we call the facilities maintenance fee. That fee is currently $222 per semester for an undergrad and graduate student, and any increase in this fee is subject to review and discussion with the respective student government bodies, and the Board of Trustees has the final say on all increases to this fee. And then on page eight, you can see a summary of revenue and expenses on this fee. And we present the past three fiscal years the current year, fiscal year 14, and three future years, fiscal year 15, 16, and 17. This fee generates, as projected, about $6.6 million for fiscal year 15, and that you can see that on the proposed debt issue of $30 million, we're looking at a debt service annually of somewhere around $2,385,000 and some change. Debt service is over on page 9 as far as debt coverage, and you can see that for the next three fiscal years, our debt coverage on that debt issue would be anywhere from 2.78 to 2.93.
In addition to the $30 million of projects that we're proposing, we'd also like to refund our Series 2004 COPs that are currently outstanding. There's $15 million of outstanding COPs. We're only proposing to refund $13,990,000 of those COPs on the call date, which is February 15th of 2014. So I'm going to hop to page 11 real quickly. This is a snapshot of our outstanding debt service on our 2004 COPs. We've highlighted in yellow the maturities that we're proposing to refund, and those items, those principals highlighted in yellow total the $13,990,000 that we'd like to refund. Quickly on page 12, we've reproduced that same schedule at the top, and we're kind of comparing our current debt service to the proposed debt service, assuming that we did refund all $13,990,000 of those COPs. At the very bottom in red, you can see that we would anticipate to have savings as a result of the refunding of a net present value of $988,207. So then under the orange tab on page 13 is sort of a recap of what we are proposing today, $30 million of new project funding, refunding the 2004 COPs, $13,990,000, and an estimated $2 million for issuance costs. We think that issuance cost is a little bit high, but we wanted to give ourselves plenty of flexibility because things can change in the market. So the total request today is the total here on this page, $46 million. Following are just some pages of the debt service, the interest assumptions that we think we'll achieve on page 14, kind of in the middle of the page. For the new project $30 million portion, we think that we can achieve a 4.5% interest rate. That's 20-year financing. On the refunding, we think we can achieve a 3.3. It's a little lower because that's just a 10-year maturity on that refunding component, for a combined 4.2 interest cost on the financing. And then there's page 15, 16, and 17, you have a schedule of what the debt service might look like for the $30 million on page 15, for the refunding on page 16, and then the combined debt service schedule. And then on page 18, we've kind of put that into our total debt portfolio, so you can see here what our total outstanding debt, including our housing bonds, our medical facility bonds, and then the proposed financing for the COPs, what it might look like in total. And then I think just the last thing we wanted to point out, we've provided you under the red tab, which is the debt portfolio, our existing debt portfolio, as it stands today without the new funding. But you can see on page 21 that we have $261 million of outstanding principal. Of that, $15,750,000 is the current 2004 COPS, which represents about 6% of our total debt portfolio. And then under the green tab, I just wanted to point out we've provided you with a copy of our annual budget that was approved by our board. And we'd be glad to entertain any questions.
Thank you very much. My co-chair is, I think, a proud alumna of Southern Illinois University, but don't let that think means you'll get out of this without any tough questioning. I do have a couple of questions before we open up to other members of the commission. So this new student fee, effective fall of 2007, you began collecting it in 07?
Yes.
And has it just been growing in a pot since then, or what have you been using it for?
Yeah, we've been addressing deferred maintenance projects on campus, using current dollars to take care of some large roof projects, and we feel that the $30 million debt issue will allow us to get a big jump start and get ahead of some of the curves on this and go ahead and knock out some big projects, where we don't have enough annually to do it all in one fell swoop.
Okay. And so this student fee will cover what percentage of the debt payment?
About a third.
About a third.
About a third.
It says it's subject to annual student fee review process. Mm-hmm. Could the students decide to cancel this fee? And then what would that do to this issuance?
Yeah. Fees are implemented by the Board of Trustees. The student's input is advisory in nature. They certainly respect their opinions, but the Board of Trustees holds the right to maintain the fee and propose any fee increases going forward.
Okay. Representative Nekritz, and before we call her, Senator Kaler, the clerk, please add Senator Kaler and Representative Tryon to the roll. Senator Nekritz. Oh, and Representative Burke. Sorry, I didn't see her come in.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. So where does the other two-thirds of the payment come from, if not from the student fee?
Oh, I'm sorry. There's about $6.6 million generated.
Oh, so it's a third. It's a third of the fee is going to. Okay, that's what I thought I understood. But then, okay. All right, that's all I have because you asked all the questions I had.
Senator Rose.
Thank you. how does refinancing a COP work? Because you pledged savings from previous projects, you then pay that off. You're now pledging new savings from the existing projects to pay off the old projects?
I can't just feel like refinancing your home mortgage. We just, the stream of revenue doesn't change. So we still have our same revenue stream that we had to pay the original debt, are just going to refinance it at a lower interest rate.
So how much of that then carries over to the new COP? So if a third of it's your student fee, how much is the old portion that's going to carry over to the new portion?
The revenue stream from the 2004 COPs is a different source of revenue. It was various projects. There were about 10 different projects, and so multiple sources of funding for that. Some of it was rental revenues for a facility that's a research park building. Some of it was income fund money for a Morris library. So there's different sources. Those sources are still there. We're just going to need less of that revenue to pay off the refunded COPs once we issue those.
Let me ask you differently. Of your total price tag for this issuance, mm-hmm. how much of it's going to be from the savings from the projects you do, the energy savings alone? And you got a third of it's going to be a fee, some of it's going to be the leftover from before. Mm-hmm. So how much of the new debt service is going to be attributable to energy efficiency?
There's two projects that address energy efficiency. Well, there's more than that, I'm sorry. The electrical distribution system, we would like to bring a higher voltage line into campus with a new substation, which will allow us to distribute electricity to campus at what they call 12.5 factor instead of a 4.6 factor. And because you have less line loss, you'll have less loss in the tunnels or just, consumed on the way to the buildings. I do not have a dollar amount on that as far as anticipated savings. Our electrical engineers inform us there would be savings. I just don't have the number with me.
Okay.
Now, there are several projects that are for HVAC renovations, and many of the HVAC systems of the buildings that we've targeted are original to 1950s, early 60s construction. So certainly technology has changed over the time, and there's very little control options available in those buildings. These are on or off, and maybe a thermostat. So, there will be savings. I just don't have that quantified for you today.
Very interesting. The original purpose of COPS was to translate energy efficiency savings into new projects, and then now we're refinancing off of past savings, which is still savings, but now we're adding student fees into it to issue COPS, which makes it more like a bond than a COP. So anyway, that's editorial. Thank you.
Other questions? If there are no other questions, is there a motion? Okay. We have a favorably recommend, Representative? Okay. We have a motion by Representative Nekritz pursuant to 110 ILCS 73-15 to make a motion to favorably recommend Southern Illinois University's issuance of $46 million of Series 2014A certificates for participation. Is there a second? Senator Kaler seconds vote. Will the clerk please call the roll? Aye.
I'm going to vote aye, but I would like our staff to look at this issue because somehow we seem to have started moving into turning things into bonds as opposed to actual energy savings.
with 9 members voting in favor, the motion passes. Thank you very much. Next up, our own folks with COGFA, if you want to come forward for a revenue update. Okay, Jim, the floor is yours. I think most everyone here knows you, but if you would mind introducing yourself before we begin. Is your mic, please, on?
There we go. Jim Mashinsky, COGFA, Revenue Manager. Good morning. Nice to see everybody here today. You should have in your packet the yet-to-be-released October revenue briefing. We thought that we would release it right after this meeting so we could let the members have the first glimpse at our fiscal year 14 revenue revision. If you would turn to page 5, you'll see that we're revising up our forecast for fiscal year 14 by $369 million. That's comprised of an increase of $200 million in sales tax, $97 million in the refund fund transfer, and $72 million in the other source category. And I'll briefly go over those three. Sales taxes have performed quite well through the first part of this fiscal year and actually goes back to the last 2 months of last year. For the year, we're up 6.2% due to some calculation discrepancies at the Department of Revenue between state share, local share, last year, not this year, but last year, that actual percentage rate should be more along the lines of 4.2%. But regardless, sales tax have outperformed where we thought things were headed when we did the forecast back in May. So as a result, the increase of $200 million in our forecast is still a very conservative estimate. We could hit that new forecast with only about a 0.9% increase in growth over the remainder of the year. So we think we're well on pace to even surpass that. The refund fund transfer increase of $97 million, it's really not an estimate anymore. It's an actual. It's been receipted back in August. If you recall, when we passed House Resolution 389, which was the blueprint, the General Assembly's blueprint for revenues for the fiscal year 14 budget, it was conservatively assumed that $300 million would be available for that transfer. In effect, there was $397 million at the end of the fiscal year in that fund. And by statute, if there's a surplus in that fund, it gets transferred into the general revenue fund. So nothing had to be done legislatively. It just happens. And $97 million more than what was forecasted was transferred into the general funds. Thirdly, the other source category, we got $72 million in from a court settlement that was receipted through the Attorney General's Office and Healthcare and Family Services. That was not before included in the forecast and now will be. So those three things comprise the upward revision of $369 million. I'll mention that income taxes have done pretty well through the first third of the year. We probably will increase those, hopefully, next spring. Federal sources, however, there is downward pressure there. I would not be surprised if there's a considerable downward revision in March or February, whenever we next meet in the spring. So that's the update right now. Things on balance appear to be doing pretty well. But there's a couple of big outstanding items, income taxes, both personal and corporate. Still a lot of uncertainty. Remember last year's April surprise where we got all that income tax money in April? Excuse me. That obviously will not repeat. We don't know the precise fallout from that this fiscal year. We don't know how much was truly one time, how much may have been simply an acceleration from 14 into 13. So for right now, we think the prudent thing is to just stay the course on the current forecast. But I will note there is some pretty good upward pressure at this time. And similar with federal sources, some pretty good downward pressure may be developing there as well. In order to hit the forecast of $4 billion for this fiscal year, we would have to essentially receipt as much over the remaining 8 months of this fiscal year as we did last fiscal year. Now, normally, that would be fine. That's what you would probably expect. However, because of the surge of income tax revenue last year and the subsequent spending on reimbursable Medicaid payments, we had a record level last April, and that simply will not occur. So there'll be a lot of pressure on that federal source estimate. I also understand that the way we currently are applying our Medicare Part A and Part B premiums is also putting downward pressure on the forecast. Instead of the state sending to the feds our part of the premium and then getting reimbursed for that spending, the federal government is simply reducing our reimbursements from spending on the other lines. We have an appropriation of $400 million for those Medicare Part A and Part B premiums. We're not spending those appropriations. Instead, the federal government is saying, okay, Illinois, you owe us $100 million for your share of the premium. We're simply going to hold back $100 million in reimbursement from your other Medicaid spending. We did this back in 2012, and I think even part of 2013. So it's not without precedence, but it does put a downward pressure on the revenue side of the ledger. When you look at it in total, it's basically budget neutral. We're not spending that appropriate. We're not getting back the reimbursement, so it all kind of washes out. But since we look simply at the revenue side of the ledger, there is downward pressure because of that Medicare issue. So with that, I'm happy to answer any questions.
Are there any questions of the commission? Senator Kaler.
Is that the reason then for the downward pressure, is because there is that trade-out?
A couple reasons. One is the Medicare spending issue and how the mechanics of that is being handled. But I think even that aside, if you take a look at where we are through the first third of the fiscal year versus where we need to be in order to hit that overall estimate of $4 billion, we still would have a lot of work to do. So I think the Medicare spending issue just kind of exacerbates that.
Yeah. So I guess that's one of the things I'd be interested in knowing is exactly where is the federal government spending less money with the state. I understand the trade-out, but are there other categories?
I understand it's simply an offset that they're applying to our reimbursements. They take a look at what we spend on hospitals, long-term care, everything out of the general revenue category, and say, okay, Illinois, you spent $200 million last month. We're going to send you reimbursement of $100 million. Oh, wait a minute. You owe us for some of your Medicare Part A and Part B premiums. We're going to reduce that by X million dollars to make it whole.
I guess this becomes an issue when we look at just health care spending in general, because with Medicaid, we always want to maximize the potential of the state to recover some of the federal match. And so I think that this becomes an important number as we try to keep that in mind.
From the budgetary standpoint, I'm led to believe this is essentially neutral. There really is no downside in terms of getting the reimbursement, because we really are getting the reimbursement. It's just that we're not spending it to get that reimbursement. Mm-hmm. So there's really no bottom line impact.
I understand from your perspective, but I think when you look at Medicaid spending, it's always an issue for the state of Illinois is how much money are we leaving on the table that we could have gotten. You know, the hospital assessments is one example of that, where we spend money in order to have that match, and that gives us a bigger pie. So that's why I say that's important.
Okay.
Representative Burke.
In terms of expenditures, can you speak to how Medicaid and other entitlement expenditures are going thus far this year?
Well, we're more of the revenue side. We really don't do much on the spending side. Medicaid gets complicated due to the non-general funds spending that takes place with all the various provider assessment funds that are available. Also, we have the fiscal year 13 and 14 provider relief funds that were created, so some spending comes out of there now. So you have to be careful in looking at just specific funds and really take a more overall, I guess, view of the Medicaid program. Unfortunately, that's probably a little bit out of our comfort zone. We look more along the federal sources going into general revenue. But that's why I wanted to comment on that today. I did look on the comptroller's website before I came here today, and there are still about $5.3 billion in general funds payables that are residing at that office. And in addition, I would say there's an additional, I'll throw out $2 billion worth of unpaid group insurance medical claims, as well as probably Medicaid bills that have yet to make it over to the comptroller's office. So despite revenues performing quite well through the first third of the year, you know, I don't want anybody to think that things are, you know, all kitties and puppies, because there's a lot of bills that are stacked up for this additional revenue that appears to be coming in this fiscal year.
Any follow-up, Representative? Representative Nekritz?
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Jim, I'm not sure that I understood the answer to Senator Taylor's question about, I understand the swap-out issue on the downward pressure on federal sources. What are the other downward pressures on federal sources?
It would appear that even if the Medicare Part A and Part B premiums were to be spent and receded under the normal pattern, that there would still be pressure to hit the estimate. And what I mean by pressure, I mean we would really have to spend a lot of money on Medicaid and other reimbursable spending to get the revenue needed to hit the estimate.
So it isn't sequestration
or some of those other things.
It's just how many Medicaid bills are we going to be submitting
right.
to get
that's
that
right.
other?
Okay. Now remember, with Medicaid, you know, you have a couple of governors on this in terms of revenues. The first is the appropriation. You know, you can't spend more than your appropriation, so you can't get more revenue than what your appropriated spending allows. The second is the comptroller has only so much money, and she determines what bills are paid. So you could have all the appropriation authority in the world, but if the revenues aren't coming in, you can't pay the bill.
We tried that. It didn't work very well.
You can't get the federal source revenue. So that's what I meant by pressure. No, there's no withholding or anything.
Some other thing going on at the federal level.
Right.
Okay.
Right, no.
Got it. Then on the, I just want to make sure I understand. So I understand that the sales tax receipts coming in better than expected, so you're willing to adjust those upward. But on the income tax, you're just not sure what's going to be happening relative to the last year's April surprise and
that's
some of those
right.
other things. So you think that even though they're coming in better, that there might be some downward pressure, so we're just leaving that part of it alone.
That's right. Had October, again, come in really strong, you know, we might have really seriously considered making an upward revision there. But October was essentially flat for income taxes. It was actually down 1% for personal, and corporate was down 3.9%.
So was it July and August that were
July,
better?
August, September. September probably had a timing element involved there. We had an extra receiving day. Part of October probably got pulled into September at the end of that month. So when I see the declines for October, it's probably a very slight increase, but just how the months fell, it appears to be. The bottom line is we didn't see a big surge in October.
Okay.
Had we seen that, we might have done something.
Revised that.
So
okay.
Our advice is to simply take a look at how the next two or three months go, how that quarter goes, and then hopefully have to make an adjustment in the spring. But I would just warn that even if you go up in the income taxes in the spring, I could see an equal reduction in federal sources as well. So
okay.
We'll continue to take a look at that.
And what is where is OMB on all these numbers?
That's a good question. I have not yet seen an official revision on their part. I thought I heard a couple of weeks ago during the first week of session, they said something about an upward revision of $360 million, which is right in line kind of where we're looking at. I don't know really off of what base they were going off of, and I don't really know what revenue sources that they were looking at. I assume
their base or the General Assembly's base or
right.
Your base. Okay.
You know how that is. Sometimes, you know, they go off of their base all the time, so their revision of $300 million may end up with a different bottom line number than our revision of $300 million. But by and large, we were pretty close going into this session.
That was my recollection.
Yeah.
Okay, great. Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
Any further questions of the commission? Seeing no further questions, Jim, thank you very much.
You're welcome.
And seeing no further business before the commission, this meeting stands adjourned. Thank you all.